The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
How many of you know what, Jesus' best sermon? It's called Sermon on the Mount. How many of you know that? You know, if you read Matthew 5, 6, 7, it says, he sat down. Jesus sat down and he started talking. You know, so I want to connect to your heart this morning, and I'm just trusting the Lord that he's going to do something in that heart. I always tell people this, especially the young ones, like my friend said, I minister more to the younger generation, people between 25, 40, you know, and I've been so blessed to be able to have value to their lives because I consider it a privilege for me. I usually say to them, when you are coming to church, do you know the most important thing you bring to church is your heart? You know, so all the time you spend in front of mirror trying to make up and trying to look good, hello, just get your heart right and bring it to church. We tell people in our church, you can come straight to church from the gym with your gym clothes. You don't have to wear Sunday best. Sunday best in the first place is a slave trade concept. I hope I'm not hurting somebody here. You know, back then in the United States, they said when a lot of the slave masters, they were big time church people. That's why a lot of people today don't want to be associated with churches because they feel churches promoted slave trade. So a lot of those big white men, they had big farms and big, you know, factories, and they had slaves. So on Sunday, there used to be a kind of competition on whose slaves dresses better. So they will give them their suit. They will wear their suit, and they will be showcasing them. They say they are putting on their Sunday best. The most important thing you bring to church is your heart, because God will fix your heart to change your life. You know, when God wants to judge you, he judges your heart. When God wants to do anything, if you want to speak, he speaks to your heart. So the heart is the most important. So when you are leaving the house, make sure you bring it. And then you tender it to the Lord. Who is with this heart here in this house today? All right, let's just put that heart before the Lord. Just tell the Lord that, Lord, my heart is here. I want you to do something new. Fix me. Talk to me. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. You know, speak to him. Say, Father, Lord, I want to live here this different from the way I came. I just need a touch from you. I just need some fixing to be done in my heart. I know that my life will proceed from the content of my heart, from the status of my heart, from my heart. My heart will communicate my life, and I just need you to do something. Renew it with your word today. Father, we appreciate and love you. Precious Holy Spirit, nobody can teach like you. And so I yield to your leadership. I'm stepping out of the way and just want you to have the right of way. Just touch these precious souls that have come here hungry, and just they want a change. They want to thrive. They want to move to the next level of their life. Father, we thank you for what you are yet to do. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so this morning we're going to be talking a little bit as best as I can. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will touch you guys and minister deeper into your heart. We started something last night about the importance of risk and faith in your life. If you must thrive in life, if you must flourish, if you must prosper, risk-taking, just as well as your faith, comes with the territory. It's part of the package. You can't really go far in life. There are two factors that are very relevant in life. If you must receive the delivering of God's promise to you, factor one is God, and the second factor is the me factor. Come on, say me factor. You are a big factor. If you will thrive in this life, I mean, you got yourself where you are today. Some of you, God had planned something totally different from what you're doing now. So there's so much, but that's why I like how Joshua, if you can project that scripture for me, let's just read it a little bit to, you know, to just ignite that scripture in our heart. Joshua 1:8. Yeah, that's, it speaks it so perfectly. You know, there's a God factor, there's a me factor. You know, the church does so well with the God factor. You know, you have a lot of VGs and you have many Bible studies and you keep getting content. Look at that. It says, this book of instruction continually, I mean, what version is this? I need something that I'm more familiar with. Okay, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. King James Version, okay? The real spiritual version. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in it. That's you. There's a continuous form of responsibility for you. Say, for then thou, that's in other words, in lighter English, it will say, then you shall make that way prosperous. If you're going to prosper, if you're going to thrive, it is you. You know, the church has done so well, making you so, you know, spiritual, and you lose the humanity in you, the power. I tell you something, God will not break one principle on earth, and that is the fact that anything he wants to achieve on earth, he's going to achieve with its human. When he wanted to bring redemption to this world, he had to send Jesus to come as human. So there's nothing you want to achieve on this planet earth that can be done without you. And so this should give you a sense of ownership, a sense of pride for your destiny. You know, one of the things I like to talk about when I have the opportunity to is how a lot of us have overblown destiny. Destiny is overrated. I've seen how churches sometimes will cripple in your mind that, you know, whatever you want to be, or whatever you are, is because God ordered it to be so. That's not so true. A lot of time we turn out much different from what God wants because we failed in our own responsibility. You know, back in the days when we were in school, maths was not too so much of my best, even though I like it, you know. But there is, when you're trying to solve an equation, there is what you call fixed and variable factors. How many of you know that? You know the fixed factor is fixed, but what determines the outcome? The variable factors. How many of you know that? Okay, so many people are not just, okay, should we use an example with history or geography? The variable factors. So in the equation of your life, of your destiny, of your outcome in life, you are the variable factor. You determine the outcome. God is fixed, he's faithful. God is settled. You know, the words have not changed for 2,000 years. He wants to prosper you, he has said it. But how you take the word and run with it is totally up to you. And so today, I'm going to be talking to you guys with a step forward. Yesterday, we talked about two elements, you know, that cripples your ability to take risk, to step out, to trust, and, you know, go with what God has instructed you to go with. And that is fear and control. So I talked a little bit. I think I did a good job on fear. And that was where we all combinedly as a team came up with the word, what and so what. So what? So we came up with that. We are such a creative team. Come on, clap for yourself now. So what? You know, and I was giving you my story. Pastor Ben said I should finish that story. Just to cut the story short, first and foremost, the house was never taken. We didn't lose the house. We actually had the house and moved on to buy a better and bigger and, you know, greater home that we currently live. So everything was just, the favor of God was beautiful, you know. The moment we let go, you see, when you let go the fear, the Lord begins to initiate in your mind the strategies to move to your next level. Fear paralyzes your ability to think. Amen. So we're going to be doing something very wonderful today. We're going to take it a little step further. I'm going to be talking on something that I call living God conscious. If you must have control, you know, we talked about control as one of the limitations why people can't take risks because they have not been able to answer the control question. Who is in control? You know, every time I think I'm in control, every situation that I face, I evaluate it from my place of ability. If I look at situations in my life, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what do I have to be able to overcome this situation? So I'm putting myself in control, but God has to be in control. And the only way for God to be in control is for you to step back and remain God conscious that God is in charge. You know, I have little kids in the house. I've never seen any of my children just sitting down miserable. And I go to them and I say, Tolu, what's going on with you? And he says, oh, Dad, I've just been thinking of how I'm going to pay this mortgage. It doesn't happen. They sleep, they eat, they do everything. I've never seen any of them thinking of how the utility is going to be paid in the house. They don't bother about that because they feel daddy's got this. Daddy's in control. A lot of times we worry, we fear, we get so unnecessarily aggravated because we put ourselves in control. Some of us are not conscious of God. And that's why we're going to look at this teaching today in that line. Do me a favor, if somebody is sitting by you and they are not taking notes, just judge them with your eyes. How many of you know that in church we can judge with our eyes? Yes, when somebody will look at you like this, you know, judge them with your eyes like, are you serious? You are in church, you can't take down notes? Amen. They say the deepest memory is not as good as the shortest note. Always learn to take notes. Amen. Quickly, we're going to look at Numbers 13, 25 to 33. I will try to see how quick I can deal with that. We're going to look at, you know, a certain people. And here, the most important thing we're doing today is we're trying to navigate to the next level. This is Tribe Conference. This is what it's all about. We want to flourish. We want to prosper. But there are certain principles, there are certain things in the Bible we need to connect ourselves to. If you guys can project that for me, that would be great. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. I want Numbers 13, 25. Okay, go ahead. What can I get another version? But if this is all you got, that's fine. Let's keep going. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. We're talking about 12 men that Moses sent to go spy on the land. Among those 12, we had Joshua and Caleb. And after exploring the land for the 40 days, the men returned. Let's keep going, guys. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol, which means cluster, because of the cluster of grapes, and Israelite men caught there. Okay, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned. Let's keep going. To Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. Now listen to this, guys. They said, we entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed bountiful. It's a beautiful country. That's what it means. A land flowing with milk and honey. Now they are validating the promise. In other words, God is so right. God said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And we confirmed it. Here is the kind of fruit it produced. They even gave them evidence. So for a minute, they trusted God. And now let's go to the next verse. But the people living there are powerful. Now fear began to set in. And their towns are large and fortified. In other words, security is something else. We even saw giants there. The descendant of Anak. And the Amalekites live in Nevij, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. Now, the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along Jordan Valley. Now, let's keep going. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Now keep going. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Now these are people viewing the same situation, serving and trusting the same God, but individually perceiving the situation in different light. So they spread this bad report about the land among Israelites. The land we travel through and explore, we devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. In other words, they began to circulate the fear. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Talk of self-worth or self-esteem was beginning to fall. And that's what they thought too. Now, let me just quickly say something about this scripture so that we can kind of bring it home. God did not send them to the land to bring information that he didn't know. How many of you know that? So your situation is not new to God. You know, it's not like God does not know that you are going through crisis. It's not like God does not know that the economy is bad. It's not like God does not know that your capability is not enough for the assignment. But all that God is doing is when they were sent there simply to validate certain things about God and trust him for so many other things. You know, that's one of the things. Now, the spies confirmed that God indeed was right, that the land is actually flowing with milk and honey. But yet, fear set in. So these were two people, Joshua and Caleb, that decided to think otherwise, and they decided to believe in God and trust him for his ability to deliver them. They decided that, look, the risk to take this land is worth taking if we can stay God-conscious in our mind. And so they did. And they challenged them. So now there are two different people that view this situation. And I want you to take that note and see the difference between these two. What's the difference between the other spies, the 10 spies, and Joshua and Caleb? One is that the 10, they were situation conscious. That's one of the things that drives us away from taking risk. We are so situation conscious. We are so careful and so calculative of the potentials of things that can go wrong. I can't make it. Nobody has ever made it this way. Nobody has ever taken the steps. Even when God is able to deliver us. So the 10, they were situation focused. But you see, one of the things that I love about Numbers 14, if you go to verse 6 to 10, is that Joshua and Caleb, they said, no, contrary. Yes, we agree they were big. The war was fortified, but God is not on their side. God is on our side. We are Christians. We are in firm foundation. We are children of God. And because God is on our side, we can take those guys. We can conquer. We can overcome. That there's no challenges in life. There's no risk that we take for God and with faith that we cannot begin to see ourselves in the next level. So, those other two guys, their thinking was different from the other guys. Now, the key point that I want us to understand in this teaching, which I want you to take home with you today, is that your situation is not new to God. God is not ignorant of what you're going through. He's not ignorant of your strength. He's not ignorant of your mind. He knows. God knew that there were giants there, if they were. God knew that the fence was fortified and he had his strategy on how to pull it down. But what God was looking for is the faith test. Every time you take a risk in life, every time you hold on the promise and you make a move, you are going through the faith test. That was what was more important to God. God just wanted them to see. You see, the obedience happened to be the biggest demand on our faith. Right from the beginning, God has been all about obedience. How obedient can you be? Can you imagine having a beautiful garden with so many fruits everywhere? And he said, only one tree. Don't eat from one tree. From the beginning, everything that God does in your life is all about a test of your obedience. You're going to take the land. Trust me. You know, I always tell people that your spiritual train will run on two rails. It's called trust and obey. How many of you know that popular hymn, trust and obey? There's no other way. No other way. And trust is part of what energizes you when you want to take risk in certain things that you know that God expects of you. If you want to take risk for the gospel, it's your trust and your obedience. If you want to run that business idea that you want to change the world, you want to start something that will profit God and humanity, it's trust and obedience. These are the most important things that we need as believers. God is aware, so you don't need to remind him. I mean, you're not going to sit down and start praying and say, Father, Lord, I'm broke. And Jesus will say, seriously, you are broke? I had no idea. No, he does. That's why I always tell people that you don't get dramatic about prayers. You get dramatic as if you are giving God an information that he's not aware of. Don't pray like you are going to motivate God, because God never gets demotivated. You know, don't use too many words. Don't just be, you don't have to roll on the floor and just continue to cry and cry. He knows. You know, no wonder the Bible said we should learn from little children. Do you know one of the things that I learned from my kids? And actually, the Holy Spirit directed my heart to pay attention. I've noticed that when my kids want something from me, that is when they pull closer and their voice goes lower. You know, my daughter wants something. He will come to me and say, Dad. I'll say, my God, this girl wants to give me B now. Say, Dad, I wanted to take my friends somewhere and blah, 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 blah. Subtle voice. And so one day I sat down to myself and I said, when me I want to talk to God, I will shout. I said, maybe I should start talking to God in a subtle way too. If my daughter can warm my heart like that, maybe I will warm the heart of God. You know, the moment the Lord, you know, led me into that thought process, my prayer pattern changed. I became somebody who just sits in the quiet of the room and just bow my head and just say, Father, I just love you. I just need your help. I don't have to be throwing my fist in the air and, you know, like religion teaches us to do. He's a loving father. The time that Yeshua will put closes to Ben and his wife is when he wants something. He doesn't need to make noise about it. So God is aware. God knew that the land was filled with milk and flowing with milk and honey. But at the same time, there were challenges. And he was willing. He was ready. He just wanted to test their faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. One of my senior son is in the band. And the band is very demanding. I mean, it will cost you almost 20 to 30 extra hours a week, including your schoolwork. So he plays the trombone. And when we signed him up, the guy refused. He was begging us that he didn't want to. But me and my wife just insisted that he has to. Because we wanted him to experience the discipline that comes with the band. The band comes with so much discipline. They drill them. They have a long time that they have to play instrument and so many things. So I realized that every time, even when we forced him to join, he reluctantly joined, signed up. But every time he will come and give us his experience and how sad he feels. And how, Dad, can you imagine? We stood for 2 hours. We're just in the sun playing. And they didn't even allow us to sit down. So when he's telling me this pain, this painful experience, he will expect me to be emotional for him. But every time he says it and he leaves our presence, me and my wife will give ourselves high five. We'll be happy. Not like we don't like our son, but one thing we realize is that as they are drilling him, he's getting better. He's becoming stronger. That's why a lot of time, even when you're crying, God is not so emotional about what you are going through. He's more concerned about what you are becoming. You know, it's tough. It's hard. You know, you have to think more than necessary. And you are just saying, God, why? Why not? Why not? You know, so it's... The faith thing is more about taking responsibility, standing up. It's more about you trusting God and taking him by his word and running with it. That's all you need. A lot of the reason why Christians are underachieving is because of the me factor that we don't get to talk about. That's why I said we're going to have that as a conversation this morning. God is a good God. Is so faithful. The only reason why we are where we are, or why we achieve what we achieve, why we get the results we get in our life, is the me factor. How many of you know that there are some people that don't go to church that are doing great? I'm not saying they are doing 419. They are real human beings. They are doing great. They paid attention. Now, the advantage you have over them, which is the same reason why God wants them to be born again, is the fact that they will do so well here and they will not make eternity. We need to wake up the me factor in our life. What is my potential? When we talked about the parable of the talent yesterday, we said that the master gave them talent according to their abilities. What's your ability? Your ability to trust God. Your ability to be faithful. Your ability to be dogged. Your ability to be hungry. Your ability to be a go-getter. Your ability to be unstoppable. God is not going to commit great vision in your hands when the little one he has committed with you, you are chickening out of it. You have not performed anything. You are scared. You are too scared to make a move. Because the faces of our life is released in faces. If you do not do that little, how many of you are familiar with the scripture when you are faithful in little? God is not going to commit the bigger stuffs in your hands. He has to find you faithful in the little stuffs. What's the little stuffs that you are faithful in right now? I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Key point in that scripture, that's the first one. The number two is the fact that you don't have to deny the reality of your threats. God has no problem with you knowing that there is a problem. You understand what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, Jesus wants you to have need for him. That's why oftentimes when he wants to perform miracle in the Bible, he will ask, what can I do for you? It's not like Jesus doesn't know the guy is a leper. He knows the guy is blind. He said, but he will still ask him, what do you want? Because Jesus wants you to have need for him. So the reason why you are able to come to terms with your need is not so the need will cripple you in fear. It's for your need to direct you to Jesus. For you to know that you need the Lord. Amen. And one of the things that I know about, you know, if you look at Caleb and the other 10, when you have fear, one of the things that you always see is problem. But if you have faith, you see possibilities. You see potentials. That was the difference with those two. If you look at that scripture very well, you will see that Caleb and Joshua, they were seeing possibilities, they were seeing potentials. We can take over this land. And when we take over this land, it's going to be so great for us to be the owner of this land that is flowing with milk and honey. While all the other guys saw was problems. That's one of the things that cripples people from their ability to take risk. Amen. Amen. The last part to that scripture, before we move on, the last part to that scripture is the fact that you should learn never to magnify your problem. How many of you know somebody that knows how to magnify their problems? They make their problem look bigger than it is. Hello? You are not the only one privileged to have problems. We all have problems. It's not for privileged few. But a lot of people know how to magnify their problems. Did you hear what they said? They said, we're like grasshoppers. As in, we're so tiny, we are so worthless. These people talking are not civilians. These are military men. Oh. These are soldiers. Because Moses sent people there that were some of the best in the camp. They said, we're like grasshoppers. They just magnified it. You know, one of the things I said when I get to heaven, if I see Esau in heaven, how many of you know Esau will be in heaven? Because he was Abraham's son, right? He was Abraham's descendant. I said, if I get to heaven, one of the things I will do is when I see Esau, I will tap him on the shoulder and say, fake guy, how could you just give away for, you know, he magnified dinner. Even my little baby in the house will not die if they don't eat dinner. He said, I will die. Why are you talking about birth right? You can have it. I want to die now with hunger. You are talking of birth right. You know, a lot of us magnify our problems. We carry it all over our faces. Everybody that sees us knows that we are broken. We magnify it so much. Oh, we are just like grasshoppers. We can't even override these ones. These ones will finish us. Don't begin to form pity parties when you have a God that is able to deliver you. Just like David, we all need to rather see how big Goliath is. We should begin to see how big our God is. Amen. Let's not be magnifying our issues. So what I'm saying today is that if you want to be a risk taker in your life, one of the number one key that you need is to be God conscious. Move around with the mind in you that if I can only do my best, God will take care of the rest. If I can put in everything, if I can be diligent, if I can commit to pursue these goals and run with these ideas, God will deliver me in the areas that I'm incompetent. We need to become active Christians. I like the way the pastor said it last night, that you don't get rewarded for your anointing, you get rewarded for what you do with it. It's about being active. It's about being active. We have too many passive Christians. They are faithful every Sunday. They show up. They take the front seat. But they do not hurt. See, what you get here on Sunday is the equipping that you use off through Monday to Saturday. We got to step out. God is waiting for us. We are the missing factor in our outcomes in life. God is faithful. A lot of us as Christians, we make God look bad, but God is faithful. No matter what you are going through, you will go through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You will go through. You will come out on the other side. And you will prosper. But you have to stand up and take responsibility. Amen. Come on, say God consciousness. You have to be conscious of God. You know, I was so God conscious when I, just like Pastor Ben said, when I was here in Nigeria, I was, I've always been a brand consultant. That's what a lot of people know me as. I had a company here in Lagos called Digital Hair Solution. We have Digital Hair Solution now in Atlanta. And, you know, I was so God conscious when I was running that business that every time I go for presentation in competition with other companies, I always feel that God is on my side, he's not on their side. It was one kind of, I don't know if to use the word superiority complex that I had. I was just so God conscious. I just felt that, you know, God is God. I just always feel that any money I make, God has a stake in it. The other guys are going to probably blow it in a nightclub anyway. So God is going to give me the job. I had great complaints on my account. You know, the Honeywell groups and Lagos Tourism Boards and NIMASA, what used, you know, an arm of the Maritime Authority. I don't know if they even still exist now. You know, I was a consultant there. But one of the things that kept me every time I go for business is God consciousness. I always feel that God has got my back. So he keeps away every fear. And if I leave a presentation and I get a feedback that that business was given to someone, I feel sorry for the company because they missed it. They should have given it to this child of God. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't even feel sorry for myself. I feel they missed it. Where maybe God doesn't want me to help them. That is what you mean by being God conscious. You become so God conscious that even when you seek for something and it doesn't go through, you immediately understand. You immediately understand that it was just not meant to be. God is not interested in it. Why did I lose the job? Why did they not call me back? Oh, God doesn't want me on that job. Be God conscious. Always interpret your situation from the perspective of God. The reason why I've not gotten that visa or why I've not gotten that admission into college is because maybe God is trying to package me for something better. All right. Praise the Lord. Be God conscious is the key. I want you to live here today with that God consciousness. And one of the things that you begin to do in that light is that there's no matter the fear, no matter the disappointment, there's nothing that the devil can use to bring you down. You will always interpret it in the ways of God. Praise the Lord. You know, when we got into the United States, when I moved in with my family, we left here through the visa lottery. And so when we got into the United States, I did a little something in the airport that was weird. You know, where I'm coming from in Africa, they taught us so much. Africa teach you a lot of in faith. You know, so when I got there, only my wife understood. I pulled my shoe in the airport. I was to Igbo people, maybe my toe is hurting or something. So they feel sorry for me, okay? But I walked with my feet in the airport for a minute, and I was just in my spirit, I was just saying that wheresoever the sole of my feet shall tread upon, it will give unto me as an inheritance. And I said, I'm claiming this land, I'm claiming the best of this land, my story will be different in this land. And my wife understood what I was doing, and I was just walking around, you know. And my little boy, who is always inquisitive, "Dad, why you pull your shoe?" I'd say, I just need to free my leg a little bit. And I said it. And just from that moment, I have, to this moment, lived in the United States of America in God consciousness. I just believe that if three people should bid for a job, if I don't get it, God is not interested in the job. Not because I don't deserve it. I became God conscious. It just, we meet people in the U.S., then they tell you stories. When somebody picks you up in the U.S., when they tell you their story, you are likely to become like them. Hello? Somebody said that anybody who picks you first from the airport, you might end up, if somebody who drives a cab in the U.S. picks you up from the airport, the moment you're entering his car, he will say, "When you come here, what does your degree? Put it aside, though. It's cab, yeah. You see, with this my taxi, I've built houses in the village. In Africa, and then you will truly, on your own, you will carry your credentials and tear it, and you'll go and start driving taxi. They will sell you on their script. when you ought to be operating from your own script that the Lord has laid in your heart. You know? Come on, say God's consciousness. How do you stay God conscious? Let me help you guys here as the Holy Spirit leads us. Number one is by learning to reflect on your testimonies. Always learn to reflect on your testimony. Testimony strengthens faith. Testimony strengthens faith. You know, when David stood before Goliath, he reflected on his testimony. He said that when I was taking care of the sheep, when the bear came, the lion came, I tore them off and the Lord delivered me. And he will deliver me from you as well. God has done so much for many of you, but once trials, the same thing you can overcome comes before you. Fear paralyzes your senses of remembrance. You know, the same children of Israel that he delivered, he took them through Red Sea. Man, those guys need Cain. Can you imagine what God did for the children of Israel? But they could not remember. For a minute, they were talking about giants. Who is a better giant between those giants and Pharaoh? Pharaoh was the biggest force in that time. And God delivered them from him. Many of you here, there are testimonies that got you to the point you are now. But you can't even trust God for the next level. If you want to stay God conscious in your life, learn to reflect on your testimony. How many of you keep a testimonial journal here? Okay, it's a new concept. I'm introducing it to you. Have a testimonial journal. Have a book for testimony. Just open a note and just begin to write. I have mine. Sometimes when I feel heavy, sometimes when I feel depressed, sometimes when I feel discouraged, I just bring it out and I begin to see the things that the Lord has done. You know what happens? Psychologically, as I'm looking at what God has done for my life, smile comes in my face. I'm impressed. I'm improved in my courage level. The reason why a lot of you are beginning to get so discouraged and so scared, it's just because you cannot even remember what he did to you yesterday. Let's learn to reflect on our testimonies. That's number one way for you to stay God conscious. Also, reflecting on God's word is very important. I always tell people, one thing you need to learn to do, don't get too holy about the Bible. Treat it sometimes as a book of instruction because that's what it is. And what do you do with instructions? You take them, right? So a lot of Christians have a book of instruction that is a manual for life and they are still not living life. The problem is the missing link of the me factor. You are not observing these things like Joshua said. You are not committing to do them. You are not possessing your possessions. That's the reason. See, it's better for you to hear God than for God to hear you. That's why I tell people, don't be shouting and be making too much noise. If you guys stay near me when I'm praying, my prayers are very boring. Father, you are just a good God. Just help me. Just make my mind connect and sync with yours so I will have the right steps to take. Simple prayers. I know we live in an environment where we keep killing the devil. We killed them last month. Between last month and now, the devil resurrected. And we are holding another deliverance or breakthrough and we're killing again. We killed so much devil. We are so situational conscious. We are so enemy conscious that we lack God consciousness. You know one of the things, do you know one of the things that gives me peace when we even talk about the so-called enemy? Is the thought in my heart and the belief and trust that I have in God's word that if God is for me, who can be against me? So rather than looking for how to fight who is against me, I'm trying harder for God to be for me. He said, if it's in my case, if God truly, truly is pleased with me, it will cause even my enemy to be at peace with me. So rather than killing my enemy every minute, you know, when I was in Nigeria, when we were coming back from the redemption camp, we would be seeing other cars transiting into a mountain of fire. They just killed with Adeboye. They want to go and kill with Dr. Odukoya. Because they feel probably Adeboye didn't kill some with them. He didn't. So they want to go. Come on, give a break to your enemy. Ignore them. Concentrate on God and be God conscious. We pay too much attention. And do you know what you pay too much attention to get your attention? Come on now. If you go to a gathering and 30 minutes of the prayer point, at among 30 minutes of the prayer point, 25 is used for kill the devil. Get your Bible and walk out. You don't need all that. You need the word and to act on the word. This is where your manifestation comes. You know, sometimes we get just too spiritual that will become earthly irrelevant. God wants you to be human and do the right thing. Make mistakes and it will help you. You learn from it. Don't be scared. Don't be freaking out every time. Praise the Lord. So learn to reflect on God's word. Praise the Lord. Reflect on his promises. Get acquainted with it. What is God's promise for my life? Every time I'm reading the Bible, I'm so focused on instruction. What does the Lord want me to do? You know, I said, we never celebrate Mary, the mother of Jesus, enough. And I'm not saying that we should celebrate her so much that we put her picture all over our homes. But do you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, probably preached the best sermon ever? She said to the disciples, she said, whatever he says you do, what? Do it. And I think Nike stole that Logan from her. Just do it. They stole it from Mary. If all of you can live here today, following Mother Mary's instruction to just do it, whatever he says that you do, what? Just do it. Your life will experience prosperity. You will thrive. You will move to the next level of your life. Christians are supposed to be in the doing business. We're in the doing business. You know what we tell them in our church? We say to them in church that when service ends on Sunday, church begins. You know, the only reason why you come to church is to be equipped for Monday to Saturday to perform. So many of you are sitting on your power, on your anointing. You are sitting on the grace of God in your life. You are sitting on the talent and the gift of God. You're doing nothing with it. We got to be active. How to stay God conscious? What's the first one? Reflect on your testimony. Okay, if the person sitting by you is not saying it, that means they are probably not writing. Like I said, judge them. All right, what's the second one? Reflecting on God's words. You know, because like I said, you should commit to hear God more than to make God hear you. There's nothing you tell God that he doesn't know. So just summarize it. Don't come to God with a bucket of lists because he knows them. You're not going to say, God, I don't have a job. God will say, oh my God, I thought you did. No. No. You are not informing God. You are only inviting God. So your prayer should be more like, Father, Lord, I'm sure you know I don't have a job. And I'm sure you're working out something, but just let me know what's going on. Be more interactive with God. Like human. And you don't have to use particular slangs or terms. You don't have to use the Hebrew word, thou tau, thou shah. You don't need, just speak to God. If you want to speak Benin, speak Benin to him. He understands. See, when my children come to me to talk to me as their father, now I can't be as loving to my children as God is as loving to me. You know, several times in the Bible, God will say, if man can do this, talk less of me, God. Amen. Amen. So you don't have to use terms. This is one of the things I tell young adults, because some of them even become intimidated when they see the older people in the older church praying. They think they don't know what to do. Or maybe God doesn't pay attention to them. I say, no. God is not after the activity. He just wants the state of your heart. You connect to Him. All right. So the third one that we'll look at there is, by you need to learn to view issues of your life in the light of God's ability, not in the light of your ability. Because a lot of time we view issues in the light of our ability. When something comes before you, you begin to check yourself. You know, if David was to look at Goliath and view Goliath in view of his ability, David will be crushed in Goliath's feet. He wouldn't even make attempt, because that was what his brothers and the other crew, the other soldiers, they were doing. They were viewing Goliath in the light of their ability. He's taller than us. He's 9 feet. He's this. He has a bigger sword. But David was not seeing a big issue or a big Goliath. He was seeing a big God that can crush the issues before him. This is how we should be. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at 1 John 4, verse 4. Just look at that scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Amen. He said, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people. Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Come on, be God conscious. Christians don't fight for victory. They fight from victory. Because Jesus has given you victory already. He's won it all. What we are doing is possession business. That's what we are doing. There's nothing for us to fight for. It's been done. The only problem for us is our ability to possess it. That's why this conference is telling you to go ahead and thrive. You know, that's why Pastor Ben and the leadership of this church is saying, hey, God has said we should go on. What are you doing? Get up and just go prosper. Become God conscious. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what you are going through. God is able to make a way for you. I just want you to know that. You have the strongest, you have the biggest, you have the most faithful on your side. So all you need to do is to put your eyes on him and just pay attention. One of the reasons David never lost a battle, you know why? David will always ask God, should I go? God will say, okay, go. And that's all he wants to hear. That's all David wants to hear. Should I go? How many times has it said in this world to you that you should move? What else do you want? You want some spiritual touch. You want oil on your head. You want some white anointed handkerchief. You want someone to anoint your feet before you can move. Why? He has already said, go. You got to be God conscious, guys. This is the most important thing for us. As I'm rounding up the teaching, I want to tell you two things that I'd like you guys to take away from the Joshua and Caleb experience. You see, the more God conscious you are, the easier it is for you to take the risk of life in anything. You know, you have to get to that point in your life where your story will be, if I perish, I perish. As long as it's God that has said I should go, I will possess. You guys should become unstoppable. Now, there are two things I want to tell you here, which I wrote down here in my notes as I pondered on these incredible two faithfuls, Joshua and Caleb. The first point is that your conviction in God's ability must be greater than your fears. Rather than see problem. You know, we see problem. All you need to see problem is sight. But the only way to see possibilities is by faith. That's why we see by faith and not by sight. Sight to show you problems. How many of you know that you don't need to look too much to see problems around you? It's all over. If you don't see it in your media environment, turn on to CNN, you'll see problems. CNN will give you. But possibilities takes God's consciousness. It takes faith. You can assess it with your ability to take risk and take the next step. So your conviction in God's ability must be greater than your fears. And as a matter of fact, conviction should direct your fear and not the other way around. You know, David was so convicted in his heart that God is greater than Goliath, and with God he can take it down, that he could hardly wait to get close. He could hardly wait to move. You know, when they were trying to kit him up and equip him, he was too in a hurry. Said, this is not even going to make me move well anyway. Just leave me alone. Let me go get it. I pray that the Spirit will just do it, will begin to flow in you in the name of Jesus. I believe that, I am just praying that there will be a God consciousness that will be ignited, that will be activated in your heart, that every time you go around, do you know, how many of you know the royal family in England? Do you know that if Prince William or Prince Harry should go to the most remote village of Africa, irrespective of the situation of the village and what they are going through, do you know that the consciousness of where they are coming from gives them peace? They won't be worried. What you see around you is just temporal. You are the child of God. You are a prince. You are a princess. God is taking you through the process. You're coming out strong on the other side. Don't get consumed by your situations. Let the God consciousness in you begin to prepare you to a higher level. If you're going for that admission, go with God consciousness. That if I get this admission, there is something in it for God, so I know God will take charge. If you do not get it, say glory be to God, because probably this is not what God wants for me. If your friends are telling you that I've gained admission for the past 2 years, you are still looking for, say, so what? So what? Let them go. Start your little trades. Maybe when they finish, they will come and be paid as your consultant. And then after their 4 years program, do they still do program 4 years? Yeah, okay, with us, so maybe like 7 years, right? Do they still go on strike? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't, you know, sometimes we let little things get our way. God is faithful. Amen. How many of you know that he's faithful? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll close with 1 Timothy 6 verse 12. And then we just rise and pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I have that scripture? Thank you. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. And he says, fight the good fight for the true faith. So in other words, faith is a fight. It's not for the weak. God is not looking for the lame. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. See, when you tell people that you are Christians, stop telling them, show them. I am so hungry for my life to reflect that I serve God. Irrespective, see, it's not a function of money or what you have. Learn to stop talking about God. Start learning to show God to people. We'll tell some of our young adults that some of them are the only Bible that people will have to read. They are the fifth book of God, of Christ. There are some people in your workplace that will never come to church. Let them encounter Jesus through you in that workplace. I just want to charge somebody today to become God conscious. See, let me tell you, every day of my life, everything that I do is just for the best of my children. Everything. That's everything that I do. Before I do anything, I'm thinking of what would be the implication for my kids and my wife. If I can look out for my children like that, I'm not even that good. Can you imagine how much God is looking out for you? But my kids are not aware. They go to sleep. The only reason why they don't even worry is because they are so conscious of the fact that daddy will always do something for them. And I tell them just the same way God is saying it to you in the Bible every day. The difference between you and them is that you don't believe. But they just believe that what I say, I will do. When you become more God conscious in your life, peace begins to return to your heart. In the midst of storm, you will find peace. Because of God consciousness, let's rise on our feet. The church needs to start raising more victors than victims. I just want you to leave here today. Don't see, to be God conscious is it simply means to hold God so close to your heart that you never let go. This is God. Anything that concerns God should concern you. There was a young man in the church who was believing God. In our church at Mount Zion Ignite, he's believing God for his immigration status. Because I tell you what, if you're in America and you don't have immigration status, you are worse than people here. Don't be fooled. Immigration, if you don't have a green card, you're not a citizen, just come home. Because that's what I would do when if I'd gone to the United States and I don't have papers to work. So he's believing God for his documents. And guess what? He will hardly come to church. When others are working, serving as ushers and media and everything, he sits down in the sanctuary. But any opportunity, because I'm very accessible, I mingle with my congregation. Pastor Ben would tell you that I'm an i5 guy. I'm always high-fiving and hugging. I'm so good, so into hugging. So I'm always hugging my members. So if he sees me, like, he will run to me, Pastor, he will give me an update. The last time I spoke with him, I said, Ayodele. Funny enough, he shares my name. I'm Ayodele. He's Ayodele. I said, Ayodele, if you want God to keep you in the United States, give him a reason to. Now you are not valuable to God. Can I tell you that? You're not. You're not doing anything for him. You just come here and sit down. You see all that's running all over the place. If God decides to go through his checklist with his angel and say, okay, we want to keep some Nigerians now in the United States, who are the ones? You think he will call your name? Why do you want to put me on labor of prayer? When the me factor, you are not doing your part. I don't pray for such. Don't bring that. Don't bring prayer request to me again until you get responsible. If you want God to keep you in the United States, give him reason to. Let him know. I vow that as long as I'm in this place, the gospel will be ministered. That people will connect to God. That's why I'm here. God consciousness. Let's bow our head. Father, we're so grateful. I just want you to speak to the Lord in a subtle way. Just be gentle about it. Just talk to him. Just tell him that, Lord, I just want to live in your consciousness. You know, sometimes the things that scares me, the things that drives me crazy are not even things that can come close to you. You are so powerful. I'm so grateful that you have even won victory for me and just for me to possess my possession. And most of the time, I found myself so scared and so discouraged. Father, let the spirit of boldness and courage begin to flow in my heart. Let me begin to take you by your word. Let me become more responsible, Lord. Even if you are going to bless me today, what is in it for you? Let me become more responsible, Jesus. Every laziness in my heart, every wrong mentality that have been painted in my mind, Father, begin to deliver me from those mentality in the mighty name of Jesus. Just go ahead and just begin to commit those things into the hands of the Lord. Just begin to remind him. Remember, I told you, you are not telling him, you are not informing him. God does not need information. He knows everything. But just begin to remind him his words concerning you. You know, Lord, you know you said, you know, that you're going to give me the fruit of the land. You know you said I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I'm waiting to walk in that reality. Is there anything that I'm doing wrong that I need to start doing? Because I know you are faithful. Maybe I've not been faithful. Just tell me, Lord. Just open my mind to realize where I'm going wrong, where I've been outing myself so that I can step out of my own way. So that you will have the right of way. I want the delivering of your promise in my hands. And if I'm the one that has been delaying it, Lord, deliver me from myself.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life-transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499. Or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.